Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. To hear business owners tell it, a top goal of selling or transferring their business is to get the full value for it so they can fund retirement. Most also understand that a transition strategy is important for them and their business. In reality, however, many owners probably won't be able to sell their business when they are ready. Why? Because they're not taking critical steps towards a transition or towards getting the full value of the enterprise. This is according to Christopher Snyder, President and CEO of the Exit Planning Institute, EPI. Snyder, whose firm certifies exit planners and provides them with professional development and networking, said recent surveys of business owners by EPI show that many owners have little to no exit planning in place, even though many of them have 80 to 90% of their financial assets based in the business itself. Owners are woefully unprepared for this event that, for probably two-thirds of the business owners, is likely to occur within the next 10 to 15 years, Snyder said in a recent interview. EPI estimates that some 4.5 million firms, representing more than $10 trillion in business value, will transition over the next decade or so. But Snyder believes only about 20 to 30% of businesses that go to market end up selling. This estimate is consistent with BizBuySell's most recent national report. It indicated about one of every five listings on the online marketplace for small business sales and purchases had closed a sales transaction. Forecasters had expected an enormous transfer of businesses to start happening a decade ago. But as it turns out, baby boomers, who now range in age from 58 to 76, have been holding on to their businesses longer than the previous generation. Snyder said, baby boomers don't really want to leave their business, and they're not going to move the business until they really have to, which is probably when they're in their early 70s. Unfortunately, many owners also appear to be waiting until late in the game to begin planning for the eventual sale or liquidation of the business. A recent EPI survey of more than 200 San Diego business owners points to some of the challenges. Here are just eight of those statistics that point to some of those challenges. 1. Minimal mind share. 53% said they had given little to no attention to their transition plan at this point, even though three-quarters of respondents were age 51 or older. 2. No transition plan. 88% had no written plan to transition from the current owner. This includes 66% who had no plan at all. This figure is consistent with other recent surveys, including PwC's recent survey of family-owned firms. 3. They're going it alone. 80% had never sought advice about a transition. 4. They're lackadaisical about future financial needs. 70% don't know what after-tax income they need to support their lifestyle. 5. Estate exclusions. Only 58% of those surveyed have an estate plan. And among those with estate plans, 69% said their estate plans doesn't include an updated business value, and 65% said the estate plan doesn't provide for the sale of the business. Number 6 is unknown value. Two-thirds agree that getting full value for my business to fund retirement or other business interests was their top goal in the transition of the business. Yet less than 40% had a formal valuation conducted in the last 3 years, and 65% had never had the financial statements audited. 7. Partnership planning. Less than 48% of businesses with multiple partners have a buy-sell agreement in place. And 8. Management questions. One-third of those surveyed owners had not even thought about management succession, and only 25% were comfortable that their managerial team would be successful if the owner wasn't involved after the transition. Think about it. If 80 to 90% of the owner's wealth is tied up in the business, how can these estate plans be effective if two-thirds of them don't incorporate a recent business valuation or plans for the transition of the business? With me today to discuss how to sell your business is Neil J. Abitabolo, Neil is a former businessman and a SCORE mentor. He has experience in C-level operating and financial corporate positions and in consulting activities for small through medium-sized entities in a variety of industries in both established and startup positions. Neil also has participated as an entrepreneur with an equity stake in a manufacturing business. He has served as an officer, board director, and corporate turnaround expert. Neil has over four decades of experience in driving business transformation, restructuring financial operations, managing companies through bankruptcy reorganizations, and negotiating, refinancing, and equity placements. He's adept at developing customized models to drive growth and reduce costs for industrial manufacturing, logistics, and business service companies. Neil's expertise includes strategic planning, risk management and mitigation, private equity, mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, startups, public markets, and operations improvements. Well, thank you, Neil, for joining me today to discuss how to sell your business.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to speak with you today.
Okay. I mentioned in my opening remarks that many small business owners have no idea of the worth of their business. Kind of reminds me of the TV show Shark Tank. A lot of entrepreneurs who are going on the show don't seem to understand how to value their business. So what is your take on the show and those guest entrepreneurs?
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to start, Mike. I enjoy the show. I think it's very entertaining. And I watch it, the reruns, on a semi-regular basis. I think the key thing for me is that it repeats lots of themes around the topic of valuation and around the topic of how entrepreneurs look at their business, which are important takeaways from the show. One of them is, do you have a business? It's a question that the panelists often ask and give you an idea that it's, do you have a business or are you just selling a product? Do you have a business or you just have an idea that you really haven't commercialized just yet? And I think small entrepreneurs could take that into account when they start to think about their own situation. Kevin O'Leary's always talking about cash, but really that comes down to the question of what is the value of your business? People go onto that show and, they want $1 million for 3% of a business that hasn't generated any sales yet. So that's an extreme example of how entrepreneurs don't really understand what the value of a business is or what the value of their own business is. Huh. And the third part of that is quickly that people need to understand how they're dedicating themselves to the business. Years ago, we used to call it skin in the game. But again, the panelists will ask, how much time do you spend on this business? Is it something that you do on the weekend? Are you full-time dedicated? How much money have you put in? And these are things that are pretty important. Seems like that show keeps getting back to these. The questions are varied, but there's a lot of stability in terms of those three areas, at least in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Well, you were kind enough to share with me a workshop presentation that you prepared about how to sell your business. Now, one of the things you indicate in that presentation is there are four key factors in the sale of a business. So please tell the listeners what they are and why they are important.
Sure. So these are my choices. Anybody else might have a different list, but for me, these are the key factors that should be addressed. The first is follows up on the comments that I just made about Shark Tank. Do you have a business? Are you actively engaged in a business that has some sustainability, where you have a track record, you've got some history in the activity that you're doing or you're contemplating doing? And if you haven't started, if you haven't commercialized it yet, or you haven't generated sales, do you have enough of a plan and enough support to actually get some help from people on the outside and go ahead and run that business? So that's the first thing. You're not just selling one product. You've got something more significant than that. The second, and perhaps the most important, is cash is king, and every business needs to generate cash. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail later. But that is a key factor. Are you burning, dollars every month, and digging into your pocket to support the business and keep it operating, or is the business generating a positive cash flow, which would indicate that it has, it has some value. The next is, why are you selling your business, and what are your objectives in selling that business? So it might be, you've had enough, you're ready to retire. There's nobody close to you that you might pass the business along to. So you're just, you're done with the business, positive reasons, but you're done with it. And that's a good reason for why you want to sell it. If you're losing money and it's becoming too difficult to maintain and you're running out of cash, even though you'd like to sell your business, you may not be successful, or certainly if you're successful, it will be at a value that may not fit your needs. And the last thing is to sort of look at it, from the other side of the table. I call that the buyer's perspective. So if I'm trying to sell a business, I want to understand my side of it. What am I looking to get out of it? Why am I doing it? What are the reasons? But also I need to understand why the buyer would be interested in my business. A quick example might be if my business could be absorbed into a larger company that has 10 branches that basically do the same activity that I do, then there's some logic for the buyer to be interested in my business. And there may be some synergies that that buyer, could take advantage of as well. So for me, those are the four key things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in your presentation that you had, what every business owner, when he decides to sell the business, should have such a thing as a business profile worksheet. So what exactly is that, and what should it contain?
Yeah, this is really, if you relate this to a business plan, if people put together a business plan, say a five-year plan, there's a section in every business plan that you and I have ever read that's called the executive summary. And I think about this as the executive summary of what you're really trying to accomplish when you want to sell your business. And for me, those include a few facts and a few factors, rather, which, we can get into the details of that in a minute. But the first is to describe your business and the ownership. What are you doing? Are you selling widgets? Are you a custom manufacturer? Are you in the retail space? And specifically, what do you do within that space? Do you sell men's t-shirts, or do you sell widgets, or whatever that is? You need to be able to describe that. And also, as part of that, what is the ownership of the business? So if it's a sole proprietorship, then it's one person, one owner, 100% of the business is theirs. But it could be a different legal entity. You could have partners, you could have equity shareholders. So it's necessary to get that on the table pretty quickly. And then you want to describe your sales revenue. How do you generate sales? What's the key? What's the market like? You also need to speak about, what assets you have. And I include employees in that. So you have hard assets like a building. That would be a hard asset. Or you've got machinery and equipment. Or you may have intellectual property. So these are things that are very important to include in that profile. Financials and cash flow. This is where many business owners get into some difficulty. Again, back to Shark Tank, people comment, if you have a business, you got to know the numbers. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. We'll spend more time on that a little bit later too, Mike. And, the last thing is, again, following this idea of from the buyer's perspective, what might change if the ownership transfers to a buyer? There may be some conditions there that you want to expose to the buyer, so there is an understanding of what's special about your business that may or may not continue, or that may change the economics of the business. So for me, again, this is my list. Another person might disagree. But I think these are the key things.
All right. Well, I think what we might want to do then is Let's take those things that you've listed out and go over them, say, one by one. The first thing we had on the kind of say what's entailed. The first thing, I think you said a little bit about it, but maybe we should go further into it. The description of the business, how detailed should that get, and exactly should be there?
Sure. So, you need to obviously have the logistics, the name, the legal name, the address, phone number, that kind of thing. But also, if you have trade names, if you have anything copyrighted, if you have any legal protection associated with the business, that's important to let your prospective buyer or interested parties know about. Give the buyer or be prepared to give the buyer all kinds of contact information. So not only for yourself, but any other key person that may be involved in the business, perhaps your outside parties. If you have an attorney representing you in the transaction, of course, that's going to depend upon the size of the business. But if you do, let the buyer know that. Start to develop that communication relationship. If you're not 100% sole proprietor, then make sure you identify what your legal entity is. So perhaps you're a corporate entity, a C corporation, or perhaps you're an LLC or a partnership. That also is pretty important. Mm-hmm. And within that, what is the structure? So if you're a C corporation and you have four shareholders, you need to identify who those shareholders are and provide what percentage ownership they have, or give an indication of what that might be. You may just want to say, well, I'm the principal owner, I've got 55%, and I have three other people that are involved from an equity standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, what are you selling? This is, and that's usually referred to, are you selling assets or are you selling a balance sheet? If you're selling assets, you've decided for whatever reason that the value of your assets is a better way to value your business. You get more for transferring those assets in a sale, or conversely, you're selling the entire business. Mm-hmm. So when you sell a balance sheet, you're selling the receivables and the inventory, you're selling the intellectual property, all the hard assets, but also you're going to ask the buyer to assume whatever liabilities you have, what you owe people as well. Mm-hmm. Just two different ways to go about that. Okay. So I think that, that would be that first category, Mike.
All right. And the next thing we talked about was all the sales. So the revenues. So I assume that you got to get pretty detailed when you're going to give them a breakdown of the sales revenues and explain how it is, what goes into it. So how detailed should you get?
Well, you certainly don't want to be giving away trade secret information at this particular point. And, there's something called non-disclose agreements that we'll mention later on. But you want to be able to generate enough information so your potential buyer understands your revenue line, your sales line. So again, if you're selling widgets, how many widgets are you selling? What's the pricing? What's the average price? And also give some indication as to what the cost to deliver those widgets are, and what your margin might be. And people have different ideas of what margin is, but you describe, what your margin is, or how you describe margin within your business. If you're in a service business, then are you selling by job? Are you selling by hours? Are you a consultant? And, are you going to price a consulting job on the basis of your estimate of how many days it's going to take and how many people you need? And again, that would be a calculation of what the revenue dollars is with some backup. So you can, it's not just multiplication. It's not just X units times Y price. It's a little bit more than that. But it gives the buyer the ability to sort of check the revenue that you're identifying and reporting as what the business is going to do. Mm-hmm. You want to also look at, from both a customer standpoint and a supplier standpoint, what's the channel? How do you get to those customers? Are you selling everything on eBay? Are you an Amazon supplier? Do you sell directly to people through your online presence? Do you have a hard asset shop where if you're in a food service business, maybe you have a business that's on the boardwalk someplace and your business is based upon people walking by your shop and stopping to pick up, saltwater taffy or ice cream or whatever. So you need to describe that. Also talk a little bit about where your material or your service comes from. So if you're in a service business, do you have employees that provide the consulting service, for example, or do you hire consultants to do the work on a contracted, non-employee 1099 basis? Do you buy your materials to make your widgets? Who do you buy them from? How difficult is it to get those delivered? How many alternative suppliers are there? And this is really speaks about risk. So a buyer is going to look at your business and want to get assured that they can continue to get supply, or there's enough available people, or you've got the connections to keep that business going, not only from the sales side, but also on the supply side. And supply could also be people.
Okay.
And then where do you operate? What geography are you in? Are you nationwide? Are you in the state of New Jersey? Do you just work on the Atlantic City boardwalk? And do you have concentration? Do you sell 95% of your product goes to one customer? Buyers look at that and say, that's risky. Or 95% of the material that you buy come from one supplier, buyers will look at that also and say, hey, that's risky. Mm-hmm. So that covers that that item, I think.
All right. Well, the next item on your list was talked about assets, but in your presentation, you also include employees. So what should that list entail? And why are you including employees as part of the list?
Sure. Well, in terms of those factors that you need or resources that you need to have a business, you talk about assets, there are facilities or, machinery that you have, or special equipment, warehouses, that kind of thing, including intellectual property. So, if you're in the gaming business, making video games, then obviously the intellectual property behind those games or that app is critical to your business. What's the value? What kind of protection do you have? We should never forget employees, because employees in many businesses could be the secret to success. So if your business is manufacturing widgets, then you need people on the manufacturing floor or in the activity that can operate the equipment, that can handle the day-to-day business operations. And employees are important, but there's no technical requirement, there's no level of expertise that's necessary. But if you're in a retail business, you may really need the one or two people that do your sales and marketing, because in that business, driving down the cost to acquire customers is important. And that becomes a talent and a skill sitting within somebody in your organization. And that's crucial. So that employee becomes a very important asset to your business and is part of the equation in one way or the other. So that's why I include employees. Okay. You may have, you're going to have 100 employees and maybe five of them deserve mention in this section. But even if it's just five, it's important to talk about that.
Okay. All right. Now, the next section was the financial and the cash flow. Now, on your presentation, this is a fairly big item since it covers not only the business financials, but also the business valuation. So tell the listeners everything that should be in this section of the business profile worksheet.
Okay. The important thing here when we start to talk about this is, what is the owner's capability with respect to financials? And it varies. Some owners know every single number involved in their business, can generate their own financial statement, They track their cash every day, every hour. So they're a knowledgeable potential seller. And some business people, that's just not their thing, and that's fine. And they may rely on outside accounting people to put their information together, or a bookkeeper, or maybe a spouse to help with that. But all businesses, particularly if they're looking to be sold, need to have basic financial statements. And for me, that's really three statements. It's an income statement, it's a balance sheet or a statement of financial position, and a cash flow statement. And with those three statements, somebody looking at your business with financial understanding can get a good handle on what does your business generate in terms of profitability, of course, but also in terms of cash flow. And as I said before, cash is king. And, you know, then what is the equity distribution of your business? What liabilities do you have? What assets do you have? And what those values are. It's all very, very important. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to, and we'll get back to valuation perhaps a little bit later, because it requires, I think, some separate discussion. But in order to do this, to be able to provide this information, besides those financial statements, you should have some history. So maybe some information that goes back 3 years or maybe longer, and also some projection of what you anticipate your business is going to look like a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now. I try to look at this in terms of maybe like a 6 year window. So go back a couple of years and go forward a couple of years, have a span of 6 years altogether. And that'll give somebody the ability, number one, to see what kind of trends your business is running. Is it going up? Is it going down? Are sales flat? That kind of information is very helpful. And also what you anticipate the future to be. So sometimes we talk about, you know, what's referred to as a hockey stick forecast, which is for the last 5 years, you've lost money, and next year you're going to lose money. But the year after that, boy, you're going to hit a home run and make $1 million. And people look at that, you know, and say, yeah, that's what's going to happen. But for that to happen, everything has to go right. The market's got to be really hopping, whatever market you're in. And you sort of, you know, just say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So you push it aside. So all of this needs to be realistic. Tax returns are also a good source here. And that depends upon what your legal entity is. So if you own a business on your own, you want to take advantage of whatever tax accommodations would help you from a tax return standpoint. So sometimes it gets a little convoluted in tracing from the business to your personal tax return. And you've got a lot of other things in your personal return that may not be related to the business. If you're a corporation, that's a little bit more straightforward. But the tax return is also helpful. Taxes are an issue. What's the tax implication going to be for the buyer? And how does that compare to what's currently going on with the seller? I mentioned, we talked about, you know, plans and budgets, which are really the future look. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is next year going to be? What is 2 years from now going to be? Okay, I think that that kind of covers it.
That ends part one of my discussion with Neil J. Abitabolo on how to sell your business. In part two, we will cover the last item on the seller's business profile worksheet, changes in conditions for the new owner. We will then move on to what's next in the process, and then finally, finding buyers for the business. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a business topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or past shows, you may contact me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time we have for today. Tune in next week for part two of my discussion with Neil J. Abitabolo on how to sell your business. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they are able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.